Let's take our Bible and turn to Nehemiah chapter 7. It's just going to be a few minutes here. We're not going to read the entire chapter because the entire chapter is definitely another lesson in linguistics. I could have Lance read it all for us. I'm sure he'd like it that. But we'll pass on reading it all, but we will read a few verses from the chapter and have some thoughts to kind of keep our hearts in tune and to even help along with the meeting as well. Of course, Nehemiah, we've looked at so far Nehemiah's burden to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and how he was burdened when he saw or heard about what disarray things were in. And then a couple weeks ago, we looked at chapter 6, and it says the walls were finished. So we might say, well, if the walls were finished, doesn't that mean why is there another 7 chapters of the book if the walls were finished? Well, the job wasn't finished yet. We may think that Nehemiah could go back then to the palace, Shushan Palace, and start back to his bearing the cup for the king, but the work wasn't completely done. It was only half done in some ways. In Nehemiah chapter 1, it comments in verse number 2, Nehemiah's first question about Jerusalem was, how are the people? What state are the people of Jerusalem in? And so he wanted to rebuild the walls. He wanted to see that done. But the focus was always on the people. Yes, obviously they loved the city of Jerusalem, and it was a picture of God's blessing upon the nation. But the people were the ones that were most concern. You know, we can often get carried away with the physical tasks, the things that need to be done, and really kind of lose sight of why we're doing it. We're doing it for the Lord and to reach people and to minister to people. And so we may be painting, we may be, doing some menial task we might look at as being. We need to remember that ultimately the spiritual needs of people is to be our top priority as Christians in the work of the Lord. And that's Nehemiah's concern, was for the condition of the people. In other words, we may think about feeding, hungry people in Africa. And I think that's great. I think it's a good thing. But if we don't get the gospel to them in the process of doing that, then we've missed out. We've missed out on the ministering to the spiritual need of the people. We've got to keep these things in focus. Again, medical missions is great, isn't it? That we can have doctors and nurses go and minister to people. But one of the reasons that they go and we need to send them to go is so that they can also have opportunity then to spiritually meet the needs of the people. If we extend somebody's life on earth by a few months or a few years and then they die without knowing the Lord, then we still didn't really meet what we really need to be focused on doing. And so we use these other things to get the gospel to people. And whether it's taking care of orphans, whether it's feeding the hungry, whether it's ministering to people's medical needs, whatever, at the end of the day, where the focus has to be as well, we need to get the gospel to these people. We bring the kids in on Tuesday nights, and we say, well, we want to have a good program for them. And I'm all for having a good program, so we've got some great themes and some fun games, but we have to have the gospel given to them, or else we missed out on what we're really focused on doing. And so the Nehemiah, yes, he was interested in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem to secure a city, but also we recognize that he had a burden for the people and the needs of the people. And titled the thoughts this afternoon, Organizing the City. The walls were finished, but in order for people to benefit from the most, there needed to be some organization in the city of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1 says, Now it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said unto them, Let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot, and while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. So we think about, first of all, in organizing the city of Jerusalem, there was some security detail. He secured the city. The walls were built, the gates were hung, according to verse number 1, but they needed people. They needed people to be the security guards, to watch over things. And so he appointed the porters, those who would open and close the doors. It sounds like an exciting job, doesn't it? Open and close the doors. Open them during the day, close them at night. But it was given to the Levites, the singers, it says there. He appointed the singers and the Levites to do that job. I guess it was the musical gates. You opened the gates and they sang to you as you came in or out of the city. I'm not sure. But they were there and they looked after opening and closing the gate. The Levites were a large part, nearly half the population dwelling in Jerusalem at this particular time. And so it made sense that they would end up being the ones who were the keepers of the gates of the doors. It reminded me of Psalm 84:10, though, that said, the psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. We may say, what's the job of keeping the doors, opening and closing the doors? Big deal. How important is that? Well, it was important. It was a significant job. And sometimes we may look at an area of ministry we have and say, well, this is no big deal. What's the big deal about that? Well, it's part of the organization of getting, reaching people. And whether your particular part of it seems small or not, remember, the keepers of the gates. They were there, but it was an important responsibility. Every area of responsibility that we may have for the Lord is significant and important. In verse number 2, we find that he had some rulers appointed. In securing the city, not only the opening and closing the gates, but also who would rule the city. He gave the responsibility to Hanani and Hananiah. He was the governor. He'd been appointed the governor by the king, and so he could appoint whoever he wanted for the job. But we find the particular two people that he chose, again, were significant. The first one mentioned is Hanani. It's Hanani and Hananiah. I'm sure those guys got confused, got mixed up between each other once in a while. People thought, I talked to Hanani. You mean Hananiah? No, I mean Hanani. But there are two different people specified here. Hanani was his brother. And that's what it says in verse 2. I gave my brother Hanani. So that's Nehemiah's brother, Hanani, was the one, and Hananiah was the other. It was Hanani who Nehemiah had asked, how's the city? Back in chapter 1. What's the condition of the city? And it was Hanani that had told him about the city's condition. He was familiar with Jerusalem and obviously was burdened for it as well. Then we have Hananiah, who the Bible says was the ruler of the palace, and he gave him a responsibility of ruling Jerusalem also. We don't know which palace it was specifically. It doesn't necessarily matter. Probably in Shushan, along with where Nehemiah was from. But Hananiah was a ruler of the palace, and he was chosen to be one of the rulers of Jerusalem. Notice that we see that Hananiah was faithful and could be trusted. He wouldn't quit in the middle of the job. Look what it says there. It says, Hananiah, of the charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. He was a faithful person. He was appointed to be the ruler because of his faithfulness. Yes, he had experience as a ruler, but he was faithful. That was an important key in Nehemiah choosing him to be a ruler of the city, was his faithfulness. Faithfulness is a great characteristic to base somebody's position on, isn't it? Faithfulness, dependability. If you were an employer and you hired employees, you want to hire somebody who is reliable, who is faithful, who's going to show up, who's not going to call in sick every 2 or 3 days and say, I can't make it in today, when you need to depend on them. And so there was faithfulness involved here. He was a faithful man, and he could be trusted to be there. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, we mentioned Moses this morning. It says in Numbers 12, 7, that Moses was faithful. That's what God said about Moses. He was a faithful man. Timothy is said to have been faithful in 1 Corinthians 4:7. Epaphras in Colossians 1:7 and Tychicus in Colossians 4:7, both considered to be faithful. The faithfulness of people is so important. And when Nehemiah said, I've got two guys who are going to be ruler over the city, he chose one who was going to be a faithful man. And of course, the Lord himself commends faithfulness in Matthew chapter 25. And we're familiar with those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Dependable, reliable. What a blessing it is to have people who are faithful and reliable that we can depend upon. A lot can be said of a person, though lacking in talent, who is faithful. You know, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you can't be depended on to use it any given time, it really loses its value, doesn't it? You say, well, this so-and-so, they're a fantastic pianist. But if you don't know whether they're going to show up to play the piano, then as good as they can be, you don't know whether you can rely upon them. So faithfulness is so important, and in so many other areas we could talk about that. It also says that he feared God above many. He was a godly man. He was a person who loved God and feared God. This Hananiah. Couple faithfulness and experience with godliness, and you've got a great combination for a ruler of the city of Jerusalem. And that was Hananiah. The fear of the Lord causes hatred for sin. We talked about a couple of these things a week or so ago in Proverbs 8:13. That's important for a ruler. Have a hatred for sin, a righteousness in ruling the city. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is needed to be a ruler of a city. And this man was chosen because he feared God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And many qualities we can consider that the fear of God brings to a person's life. And so there was the gatekeepers, there was the rulers appointed, and then there was a specific instructions for keeping the gates. You say, how hard could it be to be a gatekeeper? I mean, you open and you close. You open and you close, you lock when you close, and so on. But the gates were to be kept closed until the daytime. They were to be closed while people were there and before nighttime. It says in verse number 3, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot. So not early in the morning, but wait till it's full midday, so to speak. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors. If it's time to shut them and close them, then it's time to shut and close the doors. They were to set watches at the gates to keep their and around the walls to make sure the security of the city. Because we're talking about the security of the city here and organizing that city. And those who were on watch needed to be continually watching and making sure nobody was breaking in to the city. Christians are to be watchful. We're to watch. We're to be on guard. We're to stand against the attacks of the devil and be ready for his attacks. We're to stand on guard and warn the wicked of their way. The Lord is coming back. We know the Lord is coming back soon. We need to be ready warning people that they need to know the Lord as their Savior. And in Acts chapter 20, we find that church officers are to be watchful to keep false doctrine out of the church, to keep the church's doctrine pure and keep the church's doctrine right. And so these gatekeepers had a significant responsibility to not only open and close the gates, but also to be watchful as the gates were, as even when the gates were closed. Verses 4 to 7, we find there was a population problem. It says, now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. And my God put it into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first, and found written therein, these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and came to Jerusalem and to Judah, every one into a city, who came with Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Remiah, and Nahami, and so on. The other names there. The number, it says at the end, I say of the men of the people of Israel, was this. And so there was a population problem. They had a great city, the walls were built, the gates were on, but there weren't enough people. They needed some more people in the city. The need was recognized that there were less people than could adequately protect the city and adequately use the city. The city had extra room in it. He was concerned that there weren't enough people living there to benefit from those walls that have been built and to keep the city from being attacked again in the future. And so he took a register of the people in verse number 5, as we've read it there. He said God put it into his heart. He credited God with the wisdom to put into his heart what needed to be done. And he took a count, a census, as it were, of who was there, who had been returned with Zerubbabel some 90 years before, as recorded in Ezra chapter number 2. And that would be a basis of knowing who was there and who was in the area. And so they needed to know, how can we find enough people to re-inhabit the city of Jerusalem? Just in conclusion, look at chapter 11, because we find in verses 1 and 2 that they found the solution to replenishing the population of Jerusalem. It says in verse number 1, it says, "And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem." What was the solution to the problem of lack of population? He said, "We chose people, and 1 in 10 people of the city surrounding Jerusalem were chosen to come and move to Jerusalem." 1/10. Those who came were honored to come. They were sacrificing to come. They were leaving their home. They were leaving their businesses, perhaps. They were leaving perhaps some of their family property. Then they had to start over in Jerusalem. And nobody likes moving. And moving's not a nice thing. But they moved to Jerusalem to be part with the re-establishment of that city and to fix the population problem. You know, we have look around today and there's some empty seats. We need more people to come in to fill up God's house. We want God's house to be full. And so we say we need some more people to fill up. Wouldn't it be great if all the Sunday school classes downstairs were being used every week? And all the other rooms that we've got stuff kind of stored in at the moment, we don't want them storage. I don't want this room over here that's got stuff stored in it to remain storage. It's the baptism change room. We want the baptistry accessible and used. We need to bring people in. We need to see God work through us to reach people, to bring them in, just like they needed people to be brought in to the city of Jerusalem. Now, it'd be nice if we had 1/10 of the population come, wouldn't it? Then we'd have the opposite problem. We wouldn't have enough room for 1/10 of the population of probably this neighborhood, let alone Cambridge, let alone the Waterloo region and surrounding areas. Where would we find people or room enough for all those people? But we recognize that we would like to bring more people in. These people that came in, not only did they fill houses, but they also provided commerce. They provided businesses and so on. And as we think about bringing people into the house of God, then there's positions to be filled. There's more Sunday school teachers, and there's more ushers, and there's more tellers, and there's more, you know, all different things, and all different workers to help out, to lessen the load of those who are working, maybe wearing 2 or 3 hats, as the saying goes. And so the same thing, when they brought people into the city, it helped to just generate the population of the city and keep things going. And so we look to the Lord to add to our congregation, to fill the pews, to provide more workers, more laborers, and so that we can reach yet more with the gospel and do more for missions around the world and so on. And so may God help us to be like Hananiah, who faithfully served God and begged God for the increase and see Him do great things in this place. And may we also determine to keep a watch in our lives. A watch. They had to set that watch to keep their lives right and to keep the city right, keep the city safe. And we need to do the same in our homes, in our church, lest the enemy would sneak in and seek to destroy that which God would desire to do. And so as we have our business meeting in just a couple minutes, we've been reminded of a time when Nehemiah organized the city. The walls had been rebuilt. I'm not saying we're finished working on this building. Obviously, we're not, but we've rebuilt some things. We've done some work in here, and now we're saying, why do we do it? We did it for people's sake, to reach people, to see God use us to reach people and fill up this building with people and reach out into our community to reach people. And so, our business meeting is an organizational meeting, isn't it? It's an organization organizing the finances and organizing things so that we can better prepared to fill up this building and to see God do great things in us and through us. Because organizing will be that which helps us to fulfill what God has for us to do in 2014, the balance of 2014 and the coming years. So just some thoughts from this chapter here and a little bit in chapter 11 to kind of conclude the thought there of the lack of population. But may God help us to be faithful. And may God help us to have His wisdom and His grace as we move forward and go on to see great things done for the Lord. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Lord, thank You again for this time and thank You for just the opportunity we've had to consider this portion of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be people who are ready to do what needs to be done. We thank you for the record of the gatekeepers. I'm sure it was a boring job many times. The record of those who kept watch. And, Lord, it was necessary to be on duty a lot, obviously, watching. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of Hananiah and Hananiah and the testimony that they had of serving faithfully and fearing you. And, Lord, we recognize, too, that we have a desire to see more people come in, just as they did in the city of Jerusalem. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us to see our part, to see our need, and, Lord, to see you do great things through us, and, Lord, that you'd use this church to have a greater impact for eternity as we look to you to give the increase, and, Lord, to use us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.